Thank you, little birdie. I appreciate it very much. Something that Cameron was saying in his testimony reminded me of a Bible verse. And Cameron talking about he kept looking up, looking up, looking up. Behold, I lift mine eyes up to the hill from whence cometh my help.
Amen.
That's good stuff now. Well, let's dive into God's Word this morning. Let's get back in our series of the Acts of the First Church. Today we're going to look at Antioch sends out Paul and Barnabas. Please turn to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read the first 12 verses of Acts 13. Once you're there, please stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to stand this morning. Verse 1, now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, of Lucius of Cyprus, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, then fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. Bless the reading of your word. Lord, help me to preach what you've laid in my heart today. We pray that everyone here would have their hearts open and able to not only hear your word, but the leadership of your Holy Spirit. May those that are lost be convicted of their sins today and also have the saving knowledge given to them that may choose this day to be saved. For those who are saved but not living their lives right according to your word and your will, Lord, may they do such a day of getting their lives right with you. When we leave our services today, may we say it's been good to be in your house. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. The Acts of the First Church. Antioch sends out Paul and Barnabas. It's been a few weeks since we were in this series. We've had, I stepped out of the series and preached some other things that God laid in my heart. And we had, of course, in the midst of all that, the Coopers from Mongolia. We praise the Lord for the great things that He's doing in Mongolia. But now we come now to back to our series. And the last time we were in this study, we looked at the event of Peter being freed from prison. Today, we will begin a study of Acts chapter 13. And the first part of Acts 13, we will look at the first major event of Paul and Barnabas, of course, being sent out by the church at Antioch. So my first point this morning is Paul and Barnabas were approved. Paul and Barnabas were approved. In verses 1 and 2, we see where the Lord called out Paul and Barnabas. He called out Paul and Barnabas. Now, these brethren had the same calling that any preacher has, right? Now, after salvation, now let's understand this, after salvation, the Lord's calling is only upon men, and it is only to preach. Now, you say, what does that mean? That means that for the office of pastor or preacher, you might say, the Lord only calls men, not women. And that is harmonized all throughout the New Testament. And when you look at the qualifications for a pastor, it's also called bishop. You'll see that it talks about men doing those things, all right? Now, going on, we have here in verse 1 a few men that were here at the church of Antioch. Now, if you remember that Barnabas and Saul were sent out by Jerusalem to go and help these brethren in this area, and they established this church here at Antioch, and it was a growing thing, and we kind of see where Jerusalem kind of slowly fades out of the picture. Why? Because the gospel is going more and more to the Gentiles, all right? And among all these men, God said, we need Paul and we need Barnabas. Now, right at this point, he's called Saul. He'll get called Paul here in a little bit, all right? But right now, Paul and Barnabas, man, they've been just the best of friends. I mean, they might even be closer than friends. It might be what some people call brothers, all right? Now, they had no blood relation at all physically, but spiritually, they were brothers. Just like each and every one of us who've been saved by Jesus Christ this morning, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you, they lived it, though. They lived it. They not only knew they were spiritual brothers in Christ, they felt like they were brothers physically as well. You know, I've known some people through the ages, they say, well, this is my brother. Now, we're no blood related, but this is my brother, you know. And I've had some family members who were cousins and say, you know what, we're cousins, but we might as well be brothers, or we might as well be brother and sister, whatever the case may be. Well, let me tell you, I've had those things before in my life, too, and it's a great thing. And Paul and Barnabas were enjoying that sweet fellowship with each other. They worked close together. They did many great things for the cause of Christ. And now God says, now, Antioch, you need to send these two guys out. And the Lord put the calling on Paul and Barnabas. Y'all forgive me if I get their names mixed up this morning. Paul and Barnabas, he said, all right, you two guys here, you need to go out and you need to spread out and preach in the gospel over in the western part away from Israel. And so they go and they come now here in verse 3 to a very important thing we understand. The Lord, who called them to preach, sent them out through a church. Now y'all understand that. They were called to preach, but they were sent out through a church. Verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, the laying on of hands is not the same thing of ordaining men. It was a simple sign of approval and that they were had been appointed by the church to go and do something. Number one, notice how the Lord did this and in the order in which He did it. Notice the order. Number one, He called them out for a specific purpose. Number two, He had a sending church approve them. And finally, number three, they were sent out from a church. In the midst of all this, they didn't do any of these things on their own. There are so many people under the sun and the sky that said, I'm going to go start a church over here and I'm going to go preach these people over here. Under whose authority are you doing that? Well, I am. Well, then you are wrong as wrong can be. Okay? Number one, the Lord has to send you to do that. And number two, you need to go through a New Testament scriptural church. Okay? And that is something that people don't understand. They don't understand it because they haven't applied God's Word to the situation. They just feel like it's the right thing to do. Okay, well, let's say that is the right thing to do. Well, let's do it the right way. All right? Now, you have some people, and even in the Baptist realms, that say, well, I'm going over here and start a church. Okay, well, where was your authority from? My authority comes from God. All right? Where is God's authority on earth placed? In the church. He has given His church the authority to do things. There's countless verses of Scripture that tell us about that. And the biggest one of all comes from Ephesians that says, unto Him be glory through the church, in the church, excuse me, through Christ Jesus our Lord. A lot of people want to give God glory in their life. That's a great thing, but if you're not a member of a church, it won't do much good. Okay? The whole point, now this is a deep subject that we don't have time to get into this morning, but the whole point of being saved is to serve God. That's the whole point of being saved. You say, what about going to heaven? Well, heaven is just a bonus. It really is. It's just a great bonus there, or benefit. Let's go that route, okay? It's a great benefit that comes from being saved, but you're saved to serve. But you serve the Lord through His church. That's how you do it. You don't do it outside of the church. Because why? Because inside the church contains the bride of Christ. Now we're sometimes guilty of this. We'll really concentrate in salvation, which is a very important decision for people to make in their life. But it gets much more detailed after that. You're just not saved for nothing. You're saved to serve the Lord. And you just don't serve the Lord the way you want to. You do it by His Word and through His church. And what's the great thing about it is that if you're saved, baptized, and a member of a church, you serve Him faithfully, you get to be in the bride of Christ. Now again, a really deep subject we don't have time to talk about this morning, but that should be the goal of every saved person right there, is to do all those things. But y'all, I'm afraid we've allowed the world to influence us on lessening those teachings. We really have. And Brother Cooper and I had a long talk about that, about stressing the importance of church membership and being the bride of Christ. And there's always this excuse you hear from the modern world, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to be a member of a church to be saved and go to heaven. You're absolutely 100% correct. But to quote somebody before that said this before, yeah, you don't have to go to heaven by going to church, but you don't have to jump out of a plane without a parachute either. But it sure does help, you know? Okay? Let me tell you. It should be our desire to be as close to God as possible and be obedient to Him. By neglecting people to teach them about being obedient to the Lord and serving Him through His churches, you're missing out on so much. But not being a member of the bride of Christ. But going on. My next point this morning is Paul and Barnabas went a-preaching. Paul and Barnabas went a-preaching. Verse 4, as any preacher should, they had to depend upon the Holy Ghost. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. They had to be dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Now, number one, we should all live by faith, every one of us. We should all live by faith. But let me tell you something. As a preacher, however, we have to live more so by faith. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you just look at our own culture, for example, okay? When the Lord says, all right, Daniel, it's time for you to move away, I have to trust in Him by faith of where to go, okay? Before we came here, I didn't know where we was going to go, but what I did know is the Lord was going to take care of us, okay? And I've told some of y'all this story, but I went... Before I came to this church, I went to a different church. And I'm going to keep their name safe for obvious reasons. But while I was there, in view of a call, I said to myself, Lord, if you call me here, I know it won't be for very long. And it will be a very hard church to pastor. And they're not going to like me, but they need to know the truth. And I probably won't be here very long. Lord, if that's the case, protect my family that they won't get hurt. Well, guess what? I didn't get called there. I was so happy. I said, thank you, Lord. You took care of me. That's faith. And then y'all called me. Well, sometimes living by faith is much more than that. You look at the third world countries, and we've talked about this before, some of those guys don't even know when the next meal is going to come. Some don't have the next meal coming. But their faith in the Lord, for those who are saved, is stronger than ours sometimes. It really is. Y'all, we need to live by faith. And so they were dependent upon the Lord. Okay, all right, we went to this place. Now, I'm a guy, I know this is odd, but I'm a guy who likes a plan. I love a plan. I don't like venturing off in the unknown, not knowing what's there. But guess what? The Lord has taught me some hard lessons. You're just going to have to quote, just suck it up and get over it and depend upon me. All right, Lord. Well, they didn't know exactly where they were going. They just know they had to go this way. And they went to this island. They were preaching. Everywhere they went, in verse 5, they were preaching the Word of God. Now, what I love about that is that they didn't know exactly where they were going, but they knew what God wanted to do, and that was to preach the Word. Number one, this should really be every church member's goal. No matter where we go, preach the Word. No matter where we go, live the Word. Number two, they also had help. Now, this John here in verse 5 was John Mark. And you've probably heard of him a few times. Now, even though we don't know his role and don't know much about him, that's not really important. But what I find interesting from this is that every preacher needs help. Every preacher needs help. Now, I don't have time to thank everybody here this morning that helps in the cause of Christ. But we're here to worship our Lord and our Savior. But let me tell you who's helped me a lot here lately, and that's been Sister Valerie. She's a lot behind the scenes. She'd probably kill me after services for even saying that. But it'll be all right, Sister Valerie. But I appreciate her. She helps me out a lot in doing things and volunteers to relieve me. And I appreciate really our deacons too. They take the heat off of me a few times, and I really appreciate that so much. Y'all, it takes more than one man to further the cause of Christ. As church members, you ought to know that the preacher can't do it all. Okay? It takes you and me working together to further the gospel of Christ. In every instance in Acts, we've seen that. It wasn't just Paul. It wasn't just Barnabas. It wasn't just Peter and the other disciples. It was the church doing the work for God. And we just happened to see some faces here and there. And so Paul and Barnabas, they're preaching everywhere they're going. My last point this morning is Paul and Barnabas admonished. Paul and Barnabas admonished, verses 6 through 12. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, admonish means to warn or notify of a fault, to reprove with mildness. According to dictionary.com, admonish means to caution, advise, or counsel against something. In other words, it means you better not do that. All right? You'll actually find the word admonish in various forms throughout the New Testament. Well, when Paul and Barnabas reached the island of Paphos, they had to deal with a sorcerer. A sorcerer, or a magician, is someone who did the evil art of magic. This sorcerer's name was Bar-Jesus. Now some say, well, that's a perversion of the name Jesus. No, let me explain. Bar-Jesus means son of Jesus, or translated son of Joshua. Okay? If you know anything about translation of Jesus' name, in Greek, Jesus' name is Iesus, or Iesus. Iesus is the Greek name for the Arabic name, or the Hebrew name of Yeshua. That's what Jesus was called by his family. Yeshua, or Yeshua. That is Joshua. Okay? So he had the Hebrew name of Joshua. So that was a common name back then. It really was. And so Bar-Jesus, or Bar-Yeshua, was son of Joshua. But he was very heretical. Very heretical. And as the Bible says, he was evil. And he was a Jew of all things. Well, his title, or as we might call stage name, was Elymas, which is the Hebrew word for sorcerer. All right? So his real name was Bar-Jesus, but his stage name was Elymas. Well, what was the issue with this sorcerer? His issue here is very serious. He tried to stop the gospel being told to the leader of the area, the deputy or the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The Bible says that Sergius Paulus was a prudent man. Now, that means he was very wise and he was smart. Probably one of the reasons why he was a leader in the area. Dr. James Floyd wrote, "The sorcerer quickly recognized the power of the gospel as a threat to his evil powers. He had no desire to repent and seek the Savior for himself. Neither did he intend to allow the power of the Spirit of the Lord to be used. He opposed this meeting and tried to prevent Sergius Paulus from hearing this message." The fact of the matter is, y'all, is that some people don't want the gospel for themselves or for others because of what they consider the threat it brings. Okay? Now, even though he was a sorcerer, he was just as guilty as those Pharisees and Sadducees and priests. Just as guilty. Because what did they do? They tried their best to stop the spread of the gospel. Why? Because it was a threat to them. If people flocked to their teachings, then the gospel wouldn't be spread. But if people flocked to the gospel, then what they taught would die off. And they couldn't stand that. I watched a video this past week, and this is a common thing in Israel. And it's sad, really. And I've told you just how much worse those Orthodox Jews are than the Pharisees ever were. In Israel, everybody is required to serve in the military. All right? Once you get out of high school, you've got a year to pretty much freelance. And then after that year's up, you come back and you're enlisted. And you serve in whatever branch they have, you serve. All right? And then once you're, I think it's maybe 2 or 3 years is up, you can then decide if you want to stay in the military or not. Most of them don't, obviously. But there's been some exceptions through the years of people that don't have to serve, and those is Orthodox Jews. They are pretty much paid by their government to keep the law. Okay? Well, here a few years ago, there was great discussion that these Orthodox Jews had to serve in the military like everybody else did. Because everybody else thought, it's not fair that we have to take on your burden. You should share the load. Well, just a few months ago, the parliament there passed a law that all those young men had to go sign up. They didn't say that it was going to make them serve, but obviously it would lead to that. Well, anyway, this video was this off-duty lady in the military. And there was these young Orthodox men protesting, sign up military. And you can be arrested now if you don't go sign up. They were protesting. We're not signing up. Well, there was a car that needed to get through, and they wouldn't let it through. And so this off-duty military lady decides to help the car through. They begin to spit on her. Y'all, that's just one of the most disgusting and low forms of humiliation to go through. Then they begin to push her, and then she got some ninja moves she was doing on them in the process. Okay? Well, let me tell you, this is what happens. Because their roots, those Orthodox Jews' roots, go back to the Pharisees. You want to stop the spread of the gospel so much, not only do you pretty much make your decision that you are not going to have Jesus, you're going to reject the truth and you're going to believe a lie and you're going to go to hell, guess what happens to those who follow you and who are your children? The same goes through. And guess what? The deeper and deeper as it goes and the longer it goes, the worse it gets. And that's how bad it's gotten. Because all for the thing of not believing the truth and trying their best from the truth to being stopped. It is against the law in Israel to openly preach the gospel. It's against the law. Now, one-on-one, you're okay. But to openly do it, you'll be arrested. Why? Because of that very same teaching. We can't have the gospel being spread. Why? Because people would go away from what we teach, and therefore our stuff would die off. This guy here, this sorcerer, Elymas, Bar-Jesus, he knew the threat the gospel was to him. And we don't actually know what he did or said to prevent the gospel from being spread. But obviously it was such a big deal that in verse 9, Paul said this, "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Now here for the first time, Saul is called Paul. The name Saul is a Hebrew name, and it means desired. But now his name is called Paul, a Greek name, which means small or little. Probably indicating either his physical stature, he's probably a short man, or maybe it was how he felt after he was saved. Because remember, if you keep on reading about Paul, when he was Saul, man, he thought he was somebody. Remember? He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Oh, yeah. Circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. Count himself worthy, right? And when he got saved, he quickly says, "I became as low as a dunghill." Yeah, maybe it was also how he felt, how small he felt compared to God, his humility. Whatever the case may be, now his name is Paul. All right? Now, Paul was filled with holy anger as he dealt with Bar-Jesus. Verse 10, he said, "Oh, full of all subtlety," that's deception, by the way, "and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" There's a difference in being angry and being angry and sinning. It is not a sin to be angry. It's a sin to do what you do with your anger. There's a right way to deal with anger, and there's a wrong way to deal with anger. There's many a times in the Bible where it says that God's wrath was brought upon these people or this person, or anger was kindled. Okay, God does not sin and never has and never will. Jesus Himself, don't you remember? One of the times, there was more than one, where He went and cleaned out the temple. He was angry, y'all. He didn't go, "All right, guys, let me have your attention. Now listen very carefully. I'm going to say this in a soft way so you can understand it, in a calm manner. You guys are not doing what's right, and you know better. So, shoo, go along. Shoo." No. He made a whip. He threw over the tables and used that whip to cast them out. My Lord was angry, but He did not sin. He did not sin. Y'all, that same man that loved you so much can also get angry. So you can get angry, but just don't sin. Paul got angry. He flat out called the guy a child of the devil. That's exactly what he was. Now, if I'd have
said that, in today's society, I might not get by with it so well. Even though it would be the truth for some cases. Paul says, you child of the devil. He told him, he said, you're trying to prevent the spread of the gospel. How long are you going to pretty much do this with the Lord to hold back? Well, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, makes the man go blind. Yeah. He dealt with that guy real quick. Hey, I don't know what, again, we don't know what he said. It's not important. The whole point was that he tried to stop someone from being saved. Now, y'all, God doesn't take too kindly to that. When someone tries to prevent the gospel being spread, someone tries to withhold the truth, God doesn't take too kindly to it at all. It's a very serious matter. And if we're not careful, we can be just as guilty. What do you mean, Brother Daniel? Well, let me just take you most of the people in our community. You know, I'm really burdened about this. Most, according to the statistics, our own community ranks among the top 10 cities in Arkansas of being the most religious. That's what statistics say. Yet when I talk to people in our community, most either don't go to church or they occasionally go to church. And guess what? Most of them have children. What is that teaching their children? The gospel is not that important. God's not that important. Y'all, that's a very serious deal. Extremely serious. God, however, will always win and get around the obstacles of Satan. This was an obstacle that Satan had here. Right? God got around that obstacle, didn't he? Get him away. What can we learn from that? Well, don't allow Satan's obstacles to stand in your way of serving God. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, about remembering who our enemy is. Now, I realize not everybody's here this morning, but there's a good number here. Well, there's a time where you know the right thing to do and the right way to serve God, but yet something comes along, and it looks like it's going to prevent you from doing that or serving the Lord. There's ways to get around it, y'all. There are ways. Do the right thing no matter what. And God gets the glory and the blessing as a result. How about that? Well, as a result of all this, the deputy got saved. Let's read this in verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, y'all notice the wording there? He didn't get saved because of the guy going blind. He was saved because of the doctrine of the Lord. He was saved just like you and I got saved. Now, that was a catalyst for sure. He saw the power of the Lord through Paul that day. But what really made him believe was what? The gospel. Like any other person that has been saved in history, it was through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ. So how does it apply to us this morning, y'all? I don't know about you, but I really want to see the Lord's work grow. I want to see this church grow. And I want to see God's glory grow abound here through Eldorado Missionary Baptist Church. But do you know how that's going to happen? Is that you and I would personally go to someone and teach and preach the gospel to them. The gospel will not spread any other way. And believe it or not, you don't have to go and knock on some strange person's door. You can go to that neighbor or that friend that you know that's not very faithful to the Lord or doesn't know anything much about the Lord. They're all around you. They're all around you. And they need Jesus. We are the feet, y'all. We are the feet. It will not be spread just in these four walls. You have to get outside of your comfort zone, which is, I think, the hindrance for a lot of people spreading the gospel. It's outside their comfort zone. Well, I got news for you. It wasn't too comfortable for Jesus when he went on Calvary's cross for you and for me. But he did it out of love because we needed it. They need it too. Maybe you're here this morning and you need it. You know that you're lost and you know that you're bound for hell. And the only way out of it, y'all, is one simple thing. Believe in Jesus and you shall be saved. Maybe you're here and you're a church member. And you know that the Lord has burdened your heart to get your life right with the Lord. Do it today. And let the Lord help you get closer to Him and a better servant for Him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you most of all for Jesus and the life that He brings to us if we believe in Him. Lord, may those who are here today, they're not sure if they're saved or not. May they know that by being a good person, they don't get into heaven, because your Bible plainly says that there's none good. May they understand, Lord, that by doing good things is not good enough in your eyes, because your Bible says that all our works before you are as filthy rags. May they know that just by coming to church is not good enough. Only through believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood He shed on Calvary's cross can wash away their sins and make them whole. And Lord, for those who are saved, but either they need to join the New Testament church, or maybe they are a member of the New Testament church, Lord, but their lives are not where they need to be with you. Lord, convict their hearts as well, they may get their lives right. You know, may grow in your grace and your knowledge. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand? And what shall we sing, Brother Mike?